Well, thank you, church family, for worshiping the Lord together in your giving of his tithes and our offerings today. And didn't you see that Kids Camp video? Didn't it look like fun? Wish you were a kid to be a part of that. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Well, in 2016, April of 2016, so we're going back a few years, I flew to Houston, Texas to attend my nephew's wedding. And my siblings knew I was coming, but my parents, who were also there for the wedding, didn't know that I was coming. And so I wanted to surprise them both. Surprising, I know you. But my mom was at my brother's house, and so I rang the doorbell, and she answered the door, and she was completely shocked to see me. Hugs and tears. Tears and hugs, right? We were then going to be meeting my brother and my dad, who was working. They were both working at a restaurant nearby for lunch. And my dad still didn't know that I was in town. So they're at the table waiting, and so we get there, and my dad is looking at a really tall menu. I mean, you know those kind that are like, you know, you can't even see him. And so I quietly sat in the empty chair next to him, and I didn't say anything. I know that's surprising for some of you, but I didn't say anything. I just kind of sat there. And he's looking at his menu, and he finally looks down from his menu, and he looks over at me, and he bursts into tears. We stood and embraced, tears and hugs, hugs and tears. Those kind of moments are meaningful, and they touch the heart. Those videos that you see online of our military coming home from overseas, and they're surprising their kids or their parents or their spouse while they're at work or at school or even at a restaurant. Have you ever seen some of those videos, right? Man, those clips really pull out the heartstrings, don't they? It's like, watching a child or a teenager or an adult's reaction to having their mom or their dad or their child or loved one back home. There's something about raw vulnerability that catches us off guard. Watching honest reactions, the flood of tears, the ecstatic joy as they jump into their arms and they bury their head into the shoulders. I don't know about you, but we get watery eyes. I mean, there's something in my eye, right? Why do we respond like that? Hopefully, we're sensitive enough to recognize love, and we recognize tenderness and missing a loved one. Maybe it's a touching scene in a movie that puts a lump in your throat. Or the lyrics to a song, or a beautiful picture, or a beautiful painting, or a sunset, and it causes us to pause, and it moves our hearts. If you were here last week, we were beginning a year-long theme of 2025 about relationships. And we started out how God is passionate about his relationship with you and me. He's so passionate about us that he sent his son to die on a cross so that we could be forgiven of our sins. God is so passionate about us that he never grows weary or gets bored or wants to move on from you and I. He doesn't tolerate rivals. He wants exclusive devotion from you and I. God is passionate about his relationship with you and me. God is passionate. You know, our passions kind of, they start good and then over time they do this, right? It never happens with him. He's passionate about his relationship with you and I. So it's in this big backdrop of relationships that I want to begin a new series today. And it's a relationship that we all have, but we don't always like to talk about it, especially public. And this relationship is a private matter, extremely close to our hearts. And this relationship can dictate our moods and our habits and our attitudes and stress levels and even addictions and even our identities. This relationship causes fights and quarrels and screaming matches, right? This relationship can interfere with dreams and goals and ambitions. It's our relationship with money. Our relationship with money. We all have or will have very big relationships. We have a big relationship with money. All of us do. We don't like to talk about it. Maybe some do, but sometimes we don't like to talk. It's something that we interact with every day. There's confusion, there's misunderstanding, and there's a lack of knowledge. And the shortage of money can cause us stress, can cause fights with our spouse. It can put us in a bad mood. We can mishandle it, we can waste it, and we can even throw it away. We can be greedy and selfish with it and believe that it's ours. And this ever elusive thought, if we just had enough, we'd be happy. If we just had enough, we'd be happy. Well, the title of my message in the series on our relationship with money is A Heart Moved by God. A Heart Moved by God. Whenever we talk about money, it can get a little uncomfortable. There are those who are tithers and they're generous with their resources, and when a message is about tithing, you know, they tend to lean in with a smile on their faces because they get it. They're all excited about what God is going to do. But people believe and they think that churches are all about money. Oh, here we go, another message about money. Oh, here we go. This is the day I show up at this church. They're talking about money. And sadly, there are churches and there are preachers on TV that overemphasize money, 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 money. Well, this morning, I'm going to use some thoughts from a pastor in Minnesota at his church. And I realized this morning that we all come from different backgrounds: spiritual, ethnic, emotional, theological, domestic, social, economic, and even financial. There can be all kinds of beliefs, true and false, right, regarding money. So my desire this morning is that we get on the same page as Scripture, our ultimate source, right? Scripture. Not my opinion, not some author's opinion, God's opinion, God's thoughts, God's true word, so we can grow in our relationship with money. Now, if you're a reader this morning and you like to read and grow and understand, I want to encourage you to read the book by Robert Morris. It's called The Blessed Life. It's Unlocking the Rewards of Generous Living. It's a very, very good resource. I also have, there's books and workbooks on finance and money and budgets by Christian authors and non-Christian authors, but Christian authors understand the context of giving by Larry Burkett and Ron Blue and Randy Alcorn and Mary Hunt, just to name a few. If you Google it, man, they're out there. The book by Dave Ramsey, right? The Total Money Makeover is another great resource. Very practical, very hands-on. He's on the radio. He's hilarious. It's awesome. So, a couple of books. But I want you to hear the truth this morning. Scripture, God's Word, the Bible has so much to say about money. There are over 500 scripture verses on prayer. That's a lot. And there are just under 500 verses on faith. But there are 2,350 verses that talk about money or possessions directly or indirectly, and that's twice as many as verses on money than prayer and faith combined. In fact, Jesus spoke more about money than he did heaven or hell. Just so we understand this morning, this is not a taboo topic. Jesus talked about it a lot because he knows that's where we live. So let's look at the Word of God and let's try to live this out. Let's try to do this right. Money and giving It's just too important, and I want us to understand. Again, we're all at different places when it comes to understanding and knowledge about money. Let me say this morning. When it comes to money, it's a heart issue. When it comes to money, it's a heart issue. A heart that is moved by God, a heart that is touched by God, gives generously, and it starts with the tithe. A heart that is moved by God gives generously, and it starts with the tithe. Under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul, he gives us further teaching on money in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. To the skeptic here today or the critic here today, nobody is forced to give. Nobody is forced to give. Giving shouldn't be done reluctantly or grudgingly, in sadness or with regret or under compulsion or pressure, by force or a sense of duty. And as we look at the truth of God's Word, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when people love to give or who are happy to give. Someone who gives happily, gives gladly, gives cheerfully. So this morning, I'm going to grab a water bottle here. A little commercial. Sorry about that. So let's start with the meaning of tithe. A tithe means a tenth. God's Word talks about giving the first tenth, the tithe, to the Lord. So in a few minutes, I'm going to circle back with this thought, but I want to give you some interesting stats this morning on tithing and giving. The year 2020, what was significant about that year? It was a record year in charitable giving in the United States. We're in the COVID pandemic, and charitable giving in the United States set a record at $471 billion. We're in a pandemic. And that's an increase of 5.1%. Does that make any sense? Right? Churches were shutting their doors. Services were streaming online. People were spacing out 6 feet apart in the pews. And here at Peace Chapel, you guys were meeting in the parking lot. That's hilarious, okay? Those making less than $50,000 a year gave a greater percentage of their income. 7 of the top 10 generous states in giving were from the South. And interestingly, even though giving went up that year, 2020, it was still lower percentage-wise than it was during the Great Depression. . 80% of charitable gifts in the United States come from individuals. 80%. And Americans are 7 times more generous than Europeans. And Canadians give half as much as Americans. Just a little thought there. The average family gives $2,514 per year. 5% of regularly across all churches, and they usually give about 2.5% of their income. 5% across the board are regular givers, and they give 2.5% of their income. Depending on the church, 75 to 90% of attenders do not tithe. You see, it's also interesting that those who begin to tithe, they don't stop at the tithe, the 10%, but they keep giving until they get to 20%. And if every American, if everyone in American churches tithe, we would have an excess of $165 billion more dollars for the kingdom of God. $165 more billion per year. We could eliminate world hunger. We could end illiteracy. We could provide clean water for the whole planet. every missionary would be 100% funded. In fact, we'd be begging for more missionaries to go because we have so much money. Every building would be debt-free. Projects would be paid for. The church needs to be strong, and a heart that's moved by God is generous, and it starts with the tithe. Some people in the church will argue that they are New Testament givers, meaning that they'll give when they want, what they want. But it's interesting that Jesus always challenges us upward. In the Old Testament, it says, do not murder. One of the commandments, right? What did Jesus do? He ups the ante and he says, do not be angry. The Old Testament says, do not commit adultery. But Jesus raises the bar and says, do not lust. In the Old Testament, law was 10%. That's the base, right? So where are we going from there? Some would argue that the New Testament is silent on tithing. And what we must understand is that tithing back in the life of Jesus and in the early church, tithing was assumed. It was assumed. Jesus was criticizing the religious leaders when he said this in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Right? He didn't whisper that. There's an exclamation point. Hypocrites. Right? You tithe mint and dill and cumin, but have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. That word ought there is a strong word that says it's a necessity. It's a necessity. Jesus is telling us it's a necessity to tithe. You should be tithing. It's a given. Everyone should know about tithing, in other words. In Luke chapter 3, John the Baptist, he was preaching to the crowd, and he was asked, hey, what do we do, John? And he told them, if you have two shirts, give one away. That's 50%. If you look at the life of Jesus, he's raising the bar. In Luke 19, Jesus is having lunch with little Zacchaeus. And when Z burst out, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, and I will pay back four times what I've cheated the people in their taxes. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus tells the rich young ruler to sell all his possessions and give the money to the poor. In Luke 14, Jesus says to follow him, we must give up everything if we're going to follow him. These are radical, drastic percentages. And I wonder what Jesus would say to affluent America that averages 2.5% in their giving. Way to go. I don't think he would be doing that. This profound generosity of tithing is implied and it's understood. The Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, shows us that giving is upward, over and above, beyond the tithe. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, our giving should be regular and consistent. In 2 Corinthians 8, our giving, he says our giving should go beyond the tithe according to our ability. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, our giving shouldn't be governed by law, but from a joyful heart that is generous. So we've got this 10% base, the Old Testament, to spring off from, right? And we're going up from there, the New Testament. We're going up. In the Old Testament, there is the pre-law. Then there's the law, when God gave the Ten Commandments. Then there's the New Testament grace that we live in now. And in the law, God's talking about the tithe. The first tenth belongs to him. Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. One-tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain from the fields or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord and must be set apart to him as holy. The tenth is holy. It is set apart for the Lord. The word holy means to set apart. It's different from the rest. The tithe is his. It's to be set apart, treated differently than the rest. God himself said in Malachi chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It's giving God the first, the tenth, the tithe to him. And then he opens the windows of heaven and blesses us according to his riches in glory, not according to our riches on this earth. And God does something supernatural with our finances. Well, how does tithing work? How does tithing work? You just give the first tenth to the Lord. You just give the first tenth to the Lord. So I have some help this morning who are going to help me illustrate what we've been talking about. You guys ready? To set apart the first tenth to give to the Lord. No magic show. All right, so this is the Lord's table. This is our table. Okay, understand? What table is this? Which one's this? All right, so we got pineapples. How many like pineapples? All right, this one we give to the Lord. It's first. All right? Oh, look, there's others. There's nine. There's going to be a bunch of them. The rest go to the Lord. What do we got now? We got one bag of oranges. We give it to who? We give it to the Lord. You give the first one to the Lord, and then he lets you keep the other nine oranges. Look at them all. We're going to fill this table up. All right, what's the next one? Okay, bananas. We give the first one to the Lord. It's his. It belongs to him. And then he gives us the other nine. Are you following? You with me? All right, I think we have more bananas coming. Yeah, we do. All right. If God gives you 10 cucumbers, you give the first one to him. It belongs to him. And then what does God do? He turns around and he gives you nine that are yours. Just awesome. God gives you 10 heads of lettuce. You give one, the first one, not the last, the first one to the Lord. Belongs to him. God's table. Oh, look, we got more. God gives us nine. Just stack them anywhere. Just stack them anywhere. Fill it up. God gives you 10 bags of carrots. You give the first one to the Lord. It's his. It belongs to him. This is God's table. This is our table. Just throw them. Just put them up there. Yeah, all right. If God gives us 10 bags of apples, what do we do with this one? Goes right here, right? It's his. It belongs to him. Look, it's spilling over. God's blessings are spilling over. This carrot doesn't want to stay here. Just set him in the front there. God gives you 10 bags of potatoes. What do you do with the first one? Help me out. Give it to the Lord. And the other nine just go right there. Yeah. Overflows. Give it up for our volunteers today. This is the Lord's table. And this is your table. God gets it first. Now look at your table. You can't even fit it all that the Lord has given you. He's letting you keep all of this. And you give this to Him. Dave Ramsey says this, if you can't live on 90%, you can't live on 100%. It doesn't require a miracle for you to get through the month. It might require you to trim your budget and stay, you know, stop trying to keep up with the Joneses, and we'll talk about that in a few weeks. When you give God the first one, you are acknowledging that He owns it all and it doesn't belong to you. But look at what you get. Pastor Adrian Rogers says this, give God what's right, not what's left. Give to God the first, the best, what's right, not the leftovers. Don't start with your table at the end of the month and then give to God whatever's left over. No, that's backwards, right? But decide, I will give to the Lord what is right. I won't give you, God, what is left. The first goes to you. The first goes to you, the Lord. You give me all of this. A heart that's moved by God's starts with the tithe that fuels the church. A heart that is moved by God starts with the tithe, tenth. And that fuels the church. And when you start to tithe, something begins to happen. There's joy in giving. Guess what? God gets involved in your finances now. He gets involved in your particular situation, your budget, where you live. So it was in the law, but it also predates the law. In Genesis chapter 14, listen to this. When Abraham's nephew Lot was captured and kidnapped and taken away, Abraham, he went to battle. He's the underdog. He shouldn't have won, but he wins the battle and brings Lot back to the family. And when Abraham wins this battle, he honors the Lord by giving a tithe of 10% to the priest Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Now, many believe that Melchizedek was a pre-incarnate of Jesus Christ, and he's appearing to Abraham. And as the underdog, the Lord gave him the victory. Abraham immediately tithes. He tithes. And there was a king in the region of Sodom who thought that he helped Abraham win the battle. And Abraham was like, no, you didn't. God gave me the victory. I'm not giving you credit. I'm giving it to the Lord. I'm honoring Melchizedek, the priest that is before God. I'm saying, God, thank you for giving me the victory. Maybe you're thinking, where does the tithe go? Where does the tithe go, right? When you tithe, it goes to the local church. It's Peace Chapel. I don't own anything in this building. You don't own anything in this building, right? But collectively, we steward the church. We steward the church. God owns it all, the land, the building, the furnishing, all the equipment, everything. It's His. This is a nonprofit for God's glory. Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Understand this morning, the power of the local church as a gathering place for people to be on mission together, in relationship, to be discipled, to grow, to come into worship. We're fueling the mission. We're fueling it. And as you bring the tithe into the church, you're not giving it to Pastor Spence. You're not giving it to the staff. You are giving it to the Lord. It's a solemn responsibility when you give money to the church. And as the leadership of Peace Chapel, we want to take care of it and manage it by being good stewards of it. And Tom leads the tithes and offerings each week. We aren't taking an offering, putting a gun to your head and forcing you to give. I know how much you made last year. You should be giving this much. Bah, 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 bah. You know, that's not going to happen. We are receiving an offering given by cheerful givers. We are receiving a gift, a tithe from you to the Lord. And your giving fuels the mission here at Peace Chapel. giving really is a form of worship. Abraham realized that God gave him the victory and he worshiped God. How did he do it? He gave a tithe. So don't think of giving as transactional, but think of it as wanting to bless God, the one that you love, by giving and worshiping him. Well, what is worship? It's defined as this: ascribing worth to someone or something. It's ascribing worth to someone or something. It's saying, God, you're worth it. You're worth it. But some will push back and say, well, I don't want to give. And I would say, this is your God, the one who gave you life, the one who saved you from your sins. And what you're saying is, I want everything on God's table too. I have a lot, but I want all of this too. I'll give God whatever I have left over. No, right? No. God, I worship you. I ascribe worth to you in the way I live my life. I ascribe worth to you in the way you've given me money in my hand, and I want to give this to you, Lord. I want to tithe. I want to be faithful to it. Maybe you're thinking, why does it have to be 10%? Couldn't it have been a lower number? Couldn't it have been smaller? The number 10 represents testing in the Bible. We have the 10 commandments and the 10 plagues in Egypt. When Jacob's father-in-law changes his wages 10 times, Jacob survived the testing by being faithful every single time. There was a testing that was going on. It's giving a tenth, a tithe. It becomes a heart test. Really? God, I love you. I worship you, and I want to pass this test. Even if I must downsize, I want to realign and do it your way. God, I will honor you with my tithe. I'm all in. You see, a heart blessed by God passes the test. God loves to see you, his child, pass the test. Why? Because you trust him. You trust his heart. A heart moved by God, a heart that is touched by God, gives generously, and it starts with the tithe. Our relationship with money is saying, God, I'll start with the 10%, and then I'm going to go up from there. And the next time we get our paycheck, we declare, God, I'm giving you 10%, the tithe, right off the top. The first tenth is yours. I set it apart as holy to you, God. It's yours. You see, we must have the heart that says, God, I will live in obedience to you. Again, God says, you tithe, and I will bless. You give first to me, I will bless you. My surprise visit to my parents, it moved all of our hearts. There was snot running and tears running, and you know how it is. To be with the ones you love, you haven't seen in a while. My questions this morning, has God touched our hearts? Has God moved us? And if he has, what is our relationship with money today? Holding on to it with a closed fist, or are we trusting God as we give? It really is trust. Some of you are thinking right now, oh, wow, I don't know. I don't know if we can do that. It's a level of trust for you. Do we dare trust God to meet all of our needs as we put his kingdom first? Do we dare do that? Do we dare live differently than those around us? Because we tithe, we're giving to the storehouse, and God says, okay, I'm involved in your finances now. Let's go. Let's go. He will bless you according to his riches. I don't know how he'll do it, you know? I'm going to win the lottery because I tithe. yikes, right? Lightning's going to strike you. No, I'm just kidding. That's not how it works. Sometimes God gives you a promotion. Sometimes God gives you a better job. Sometimes God, you don't get sick and so you don't miss days. There's lots of ways that God can bless us if we put our trust in Him. A heart moved by God, a heart that is touched by God, gives generously, and it starts, church, with the tithe. Let's pray.